Podcast Help Desk number 105 for April 3rd, 2018. I have to remember what year it is because I haven't done too many of these this year. Anyway, today I got a special episode. I've got a recording that was made during the Columbus, Ohio Podcasters Meetup last Tuesday, end of March, and I was the featured speaker talking about beginner tech mistakes that I've seen while working at Blueberry and, of course, due to this podcast. So just one note, it was done on a lavalier mic connected to me, and the mic that was supposed to get the room noise didn't work as planned or whatever. So you may not be able to hear the questions when we get into that part of it or the comments from the audience, but I still think it's a worthwhile recording, and I don't want to take up too much of your time because the thing is about an hour and something long, and it ends rather abruptly. So when it ends, that's just because that was the only thing that was worth having on there. The rest of it was just idle discussions around the room while I was still wearing the lav. So thanks to the Columbus, Ohio Podcasters Meetup for having me down for that. In case you're interested, the Columbus Area Podcasters Meetup meets at the Raw Voice / Blueberry headquarters. They're in Columbus, Ohio on the last Tuesday of every month around 6:30, 7 o'clock, something like that. So go check it out. I will have links to their website in the show notes over at podcasthelpdesk.com. So on with the recording.
All right. Well, thanks for coming down. I'm Mike Dell. I'm the customer support coordinator for Blueberry, and amongst other things, of course, you know, in small companies, you do more than a few things. But today we're going to talk about beginner tech mistakes and stuff that I've run into in tech support that, you know, beginner podcasters and even some veterans would probably recognize. But, you know, they kind of broke out in the five different things. We're going to do recording and editing media. That seems to be an area where a lot of people have trouble is recording. And then, you know, the formats, and file formats, RSS feeds, websites. And, of course, there's terms that people use and they don't know what they are. So recording and editing, choosing equipment, you notice it's got the Blue Yeti mic here, and that's a good microphone for certain people in certain environments, and other mics are better for, you know, for beginners, but you don't need to go crazy on the equipment. You know, get a decent microphone, and as long as your audio sounds decent, you're done with it. They're just a little malformed, but this is the famous ATR 2100 that everybody has. It's not a bad microphone. It's not my favorite microphone, but it will get the job done. What kind of microphones are you getting? Who has podcasts here already? So what sort of microphones are you running? ATR?
Yeah, I got
the
road.
Good answer. Good answer. A lot of people get so wrapped up in the equipment and then they don't do anything because they're, well, this microphone sounds 2% better than the other one. I should throw out everything that I did before on that old microphone. You don't want that. You know, just check it off your list. Get it done. Same thing with, like I mentioned, with the condenser mic. So anybody that has a condenser mic knows that that thing will pick up, as he said earlier, a fly fart at 100 yards. Okay? That might sound like a cool thing until you're trying to get a good, clean recording and somebody down the road smashes into a dumpster on the side of the road and you hear it in full fidelity on your microphone in your studio. So make sure that if you're going to use a condenser, you turn the gain down. You have a good room that's very quiet. You know, like this room would kind of stink for a condenser if you were trying to get a good clean recording, because there's a lot of flat, hard surfaces. You know, best place for something like that would literally right in the middle of your coat closet. You know, spread the coats out, set a table in. I've seen people do this. And they've got all their clothes hanging around them in their coat closet, and that microphone will sound wonderful. But then you get the ATR here, which, you know, if I'm not pointing it at something, it's not going to hear it. So if I'm talking here and then I ask Kim a question, Kim's not going to be heard on this microphone, because it's a very, you know, it's a dynamic, it's very directional, and this is a much better choice for certain environments. I live in a 1940s log cabin up in northern Michigan. And I'm also, about 500 yards from Lake Michigan. So we have jet skis, we have big ships, we have boats. I have an airport 100 yards the other way. I have a Coast Guard air station on that airport. So I have helicopters flying over. I have a train track. I might live on a 5-lane road. Okay. I use a microphone like this, you'd never know that I'm in that environment. If I used a Blue Yeti, you would hear trains, planes, and automobiles. Quite a few of them. Probably helicopters mostly. But, what sort of recording environments do you guys have? Do you have just an office, a bedroom? Let's see, Cody, what do you...
I got an office now, but it's square, carbon floors.
Yeah.
One brick wall, one window.
You're using an ATR. You're good.
There's a few, though. We got 57
for these. Yep.
Got soundproofing up on walls and stuff.
Nice. Anybody else have anything special?
Yeah, I sound treated my office.
Nice. I see that. Now, you know, my studio in my old log cabin is right next to the furnace down in the basement. So, you know, it's got block walls, and you know, you can see the floor joists above me. Nobody could tell, because I don't use the ATR. I use either an RE20 Electro Voice, which is kind of the standard for radio stations, or I've got a PR40 Heil that I also use, which is kind of the standard for pretentious podcasters.
So. Were you supposed to hear angels sing when you said
No, that's a Dave thing. I'm not Dave. All right. What software you use? That's another thing for recording and editing. A lot of people use Audacity. Audacity's fine. Used to be that the lame MP3 encoder was indeed lame. But since Fraunhofer lost their patent now on MP3, and it's kind of... I wouldn't say open source, but at least they're not, and they can't enforce the patent. The lame encoder has gotten a lot better. So don't be afraid to use Audacity with the lame encoder. It's, you know, free, and it works pretty well.
Do you have to update your Audacity?
Well, you should update lame at least, which is a separate file that you need to download. I don't know what the current version of it is. A little later, we're going to talk about leveling, obviously, and actually talk about that at the same time. There's that Auphonic. It's a program that gives you free 2 hours if you do it online per month. You can pay for extra time, or, you know, for somebody that does a lot of audio, buy the desktop version. It's $80, but you could do an unlimited amount of things. But I used to tell people, do it in Wave. At that point, because it used the front or used the lame encoder to make the MP3 if you did it in MP3. And now, you know, in fact, I talked to the Auphonic people at Podcast Movement last year, and they told me, yeah, since they've updated lame, there's no longer a problem with that. So now I say, yeah, go for it. Let Auphonic make your MP3. public spelling is not a good thing for me. A-U-P-H-O-N-I-C.
A-U-P-H-O-N-I-C,
yeah. And Auphonic, it's auphonic.com for the online version. And I think in there, it's a little hard to find, but the desktop version is in there where you can download it for a day for free. And then after that, it's $80 for the key. But if you do a lot of audio, it is certainly worth it. And what Auphonic does is say, like right now, we're sitting here, that microphone's recording. This little microphone here is recording, hopefully. And my voice is probably going to be a lot louder than any of your voices, but if we take this recording and run it through Auphonic, it will attempt to level that. Now, with some background noise, it may not do a great job of it, but what it'll do is it'll make it so that, you know, any one of you are just as loud as I am on this recording. And that's important, like especially if you're doing interview shows. And I see so many people doing interview shows, and that's a whole other topic. But we're talking about tech today. where you have to have your finger on the knob to turn it up and down between the people. And you want it to be the same. You want everybody to be the same. There's other, like I said, editing software. You don't want to pay a little bit. I think, what is it, $15 a month now for Audition?
Yeah.
Well worth it if you want to learn Audition. Audition is a product of Adobe, same people that make Photoshop. So think of Photoshop for audio. That's kind of what that is. There's Hindenburg Journalist. I find it a little hard to deal with, but I'm used to Audition. But Audacity, like I said, nothing wrong with free, and it works pretty good. Just know that being that it's free, it's not going to be as easy to use as some others. But for certain things, I actually still use it, even though I have Audition. Like for multi-track, you know, if you're bringing in multiple tracks of something, I find it easier to do in Audacity than it is in Audition. So, but I don't do any heavy audio editing like that. There's other leveling software. There was one that was just announced, and I forgot what it was called. But I just saw that here recently. And then there's one that's been kind of abandoned, but it's still around. LibriVox. Who was the guys that did that?
Levelator.
There we go. Thank you. Yeah, and it works roughly the same as Auphonic, although hasn't been updated in several years. So it's not perfect. And you have to start with a WAV file. That one won't do MP3s or anything. WAV or AIFF, if you're on Mac, I think it'll work. So, and then, you know, my little thing about editing is don't overdo it. I did that when I first started. And a little history on me, I've started and stopped more podcasts than probably are represented in this room. But I did a podcast about ham radio back in 2005-ish, you know, and I did it with a guest host. We were in studio, and I was editing out every every ah, every breath, every snort. And a little half hour's worth of audio was taking me 4, 5, 6 hours to produce. If I was still doing that, I wouldn't be podcasting anymore. Now, there's extremes on both ends. My CEO, Todd, most of you probably know who he is, he's a firm believer. Turn on the mic, talk into it, turn off the mic, clip the ends, run it through Auphonic, put it out. No editing. You know, I'm kind of in the middle. Mackenzie kind of in the middle there. She'll take out things that aren't relevant. And, you know, if somebody has a coughing fit, it doesn't go on the podcast. And
thank you.
But, you know, each to their own. And, you know, you look at Todd and he's had, 1,500 episodes or so, something like that. He probably wouldn't have made it to episode 200 if he had to edit. You know, I've actually had to edit him, and it's fun. so we do a podcast together called Your Podcast by Blueberry, and I do edit that one slightly. So, any other questions about recording and editing or comments, whatever, before we go on? Cool. Everybody's eating pizza. All right, file formats. The biggest, one of the biggest things I get, especially at Raw Voice, Blueberry, is I will get someone that will call me and panic and say, I bought the 100 megabyte plan and I uploaded my 30 minute podcast and I already blew through all my quota. What's going on? Well, they either encoded it as a WAV, as you see, WAV files will not work and they're huge, or they've encoded it at the highest level MP3. Well, you think about it, when you're listening to podcasts, how are you listening to podcasts yourself? You're listening on the crappy earbuds that come with your phone, most people. Looks like Cody there's got quite the headset there. But but for the most part, you're listening on Bluetooth, or you're listening, you know, plugged into a car stereo, you're driving down the road, you know. So absolute pristine quality is not necessary. But then think about this, NPR, most of their podcasts are encoded. It used to be 64 mono. They've bumped it up to 96 kilobyte mono. But they're mono. They're not stereo, unless it's a show that requires stereo. And some of them, like Radiolab from WNYC, definitely requires stereo because they do a lot of left-right stuff. But so, you know, the quality, you can't get better quality than what NPR is putting out as far as, you know, their recordings are top-notch. And so you don't need anything over 128 kilobit stereo or 96 mono. And the reason we say 96 now is Spotify. Spotify wants everything to be at 96 or higher. So it used to be 64, now it's 96. I don't, you know, I'm sure if you're still doing them at 64, it's fine. Because they just up converted anyway. So AAC format will work in most players. It's not as compatible. So if you're using a Mac and you're using, was that GarageBand? I don't even turn it on. I've never turned it on. But by default, GarageBand will save it as an M4A file, which is AAC encoding, kind of a Apple's version of MP3. It's a little bit, it's actually a better encoding, but it's not as compatible. And then if you're going to do video, and I don't really cover a lot of video stuff, but if you do video, really MP4 or M4V are the only two formats that work well in podcasting. Technically, you can do MOV. I think you could even do some uncompressed stuff, but can you imagine how big those would be? I saw somebody do AVIs once, and I was like, what is that going to take, 4 days to get an hour video down? It's certainly not going to stream it. But MP4, when you save video, MP4 or M4V, make sure that you have all the tags at the front instead of the back. It's a little checkbox in most audio or video editing software that says optimize for the internet. It's a little trick. Otherwise, if you have the tags all at the end, which is the standard way, the file has to completely download before it'll start playing. And that would get really annoying, especially if it's a, you know, an hour-long video would probably take 10 minutes to download before it would start playing. So that'd be a really bad experience for the podcaster or podcast watcher in this case. So any questions on file formats? Any comments?
Technical question here. Mm-hmm. So I know about the bit rate for encoding MP3, about 128. How does that relate to, like, you know, 44 kilohertz?
Oh, yeah, the sample rate? Yeah, I didn't write that in there, but, yeah, you should do 44.1 kilohertz sample rate. Most audio software now defaults to that. Now, sometimes some of the Apple stuff will do 48,000. The only thing wrong with that is some web players will cause you to sound like Mickey Mouse if you do it at 48 because it takes that as a clock speed. And it's mostly flash-based players. So nowadays with HTML5, that's not quite as critical as it once was. And you could also do it at half that. You could do it at 22.5 kilohertz or 22,500.
Yeah, I think you want to watch for if you've got audio, like what we're doing here. Okay, that's video is routinely at 48 kilohertz.
Yeah.
So
stripping audio out of the video, mm-hmm. make sure you set it to transcode it to 4.1, where you get the Mickey Mouse, or it'll get out of sync.
Yeah, it can get out of sync with video, too, if you do it at 44.1. Like, a lot of people will take their portable recorders, like, you know, like this, and they'll do video. They'll have their camera over there, and they'll have their thing here. So they're recording this at 44.1. They're recording on the video at 48. Yeah, I've done that. And then you get what's called lip flap, where you're talking along, and the words and the motions don't quite sync up, but they're not terrible.
I know the audition. I don't know about other software. Yeah. You know, you can go in and you can convert from one to the other.
Yeah. Audition will do it. Hindenburg will do it. I don't think Audacity will do it properly. Most video editing software will do it, though. So you can, like, I use Adobe Premiere. And what I'll do is you bring in the audio and then into Premiere, then open it in Audition, change the rate, sync it with the video, and then you're fine. But that's what a lot of people do, is they'll record on something at 44.1 audio, 48,000 on the video, and causes issues. Can you imagine being a TV station now with all the darn videos formats? Holy crap. You got, you know, 1080p, 4K, blah, 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 and everything in between. All right, feed generation. This one can be a sticky wicket for some people because myself, I'm a firm believer of owning as much of your stuff as you can, but like with Blueberry, we were just talking about this today in the office. With Blueberry, we have several choices. You know, you could have a WordPress site hosted by us. You could have a WordPress site hosted by anybody else, and you can also generate it right from Blueberry with Libsyn, Spreaker, Podbean, all the rest. You generate your RSS feed from them, you know, and you can use our PowerPress and host anywhere you want to. So that's like a sub option. But that's the thing, is a lot of people don't understand what an RSS feed is to begin with. Well, and I find that with beginners, they don't understand that the RSS feed is your transmitter for your radio station. So just think of it as your podcast as a radio station. Somebody tunes to your RSS feed, and they receive whatever you put down that feed, just like a radio station, only not in real time. And so that's one thing, with the beginners, I notice that, you know, they're having a harder time figuring out, you know, how they want to do it. As I see here, choices, I've got, you know, from your own website, and that's my favorite way. From your podcast host's website, you know, so like Libsyn, Spreaker, Podbean, whatever. And then, you know, that you can do a third-party service such as FeedBurner, which was the big one, until we came out with Podcast Mirror. Now I don't, you know, nobody recommends FeedBurner anymore because they haven't done anything for, 12 years now. I don't think it's going to ever die completely, unfortunately. Huh?
Cody and I did.
FeedBurner
was gone.
Well, but he had a major RSS feed going through there, and a ton of stuff was changed on his.
Right.
It wasn't updated on it.
Yeah, that happens. And that's one of the biggest problems I see is, you know, if you're using FeedBurner or FeedBlitz or, you know, any of those things, that's just a whole other point where it can break down. But the whole idea is to keep control of it. However you do it, just make sure, you know, if you're doing it from your podcast hosts, you know, like Libsyn's not a problem. They'll let you leave anytime you want. Spreaker's not a problem. Podbean's not a problem. But you get in some of these no-name ones or haven't been around long or whatever, and they don't understand, like Anchor. You know, Anchor, you know, not to talk terrible about them, but I'm going to. Anchor actually submits your podcast to Apple under their Apple ID. So you have zero control at Apple. You know, now Apple isn't all of podcasting, but it's a big chunk. And, you know, if you lose control of that part of your podcast, then you might as well start over when you move from Anchor. And Anchor being a free service, it's a lousy business model. They're not going to be around a whole lot longer. You know, they'll last a couple of years till investors realize they're not going to get any money out of them, and then they'll blow away. And that happens. It's, you know, we've seen it happen over and over. Anybody here old enough to remember Podango? You know, oh, we're going to give you free podcast hosting, and we'll supplement it with advertising. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's been done. Not successfully, ever. So, but just, you know, keep control of it. You know, if you don't know what an RSS feed is, ask somebody that's been in podcasting, because, you know, RSS feed is the key. Keeping control of that is the key to it, you know. And, you know, if you use, like, something like Podcast Mirror, even if you're at Podbean or Anchor or wherever, and everybody, all your subscribers are subscribed to the Podcast Mirror feed, and your service of choice goes out of business, all you do is spin up a new RSS feed somewhere else, change the base feed at Mirror, nobody will know the difference. So at least you get that much control. If you're going to use the free services or the shaky services, at least figure out some way to have a little bit more control over it. But like I said, you can't go wrong with most of the major podcast hosting companies. They're all pretty good. I can, you know, if you want to move to Blueberry, I can usually talk them into helping. So, and vice versa. We're nice about letting people leave as well. Websites. A lot of people say you don't even need a website to podcast. Well, technically you don't. But where are you going to send everybody? You know, so many people I see, you know, new podcasters will say, find us on iTunes. Have you ever tried to find a podcast on iTunes? Their search sucks. I mean, unless you know the exact name of it, it's not a great place. So I always say, get your own domain, whatever that domain is. It doesn't have to be a .com, but get your own domain. Put up a website. I prefer WordPress, and I'm a little biased because we're a company that's based on WordPress, but, you know, it's 25% of the entire internet. But get a WordPress site, and then when someone says, well, how do I listen to your podcast? Well, go to mypodcast.com. You know, you do that, everybody knows where you're at. It does that. You don't have to, you know, nobody has to search for you in whatever app of their choice. I have a comedian friend who does a podcast, and he came up with the best thing ever. He says, and it's a tiny bit off color, but he says, go to the website, click the appropriate button, and you will feel a vibration in your pants when we put out an episode. And I love that, because you get a notification when, and it doesn't matter if you're on Android, you're on Apple, you're on Windows, you're on whatever, there's a button there for you to push to subscribe to the show. And he doesn't have to say, well, go find us on iTunes and stand on your head. Make sure you type in the two W's at the end or it's not going to show up. But no, he doesn't have to do that. He says, come to my website, blah, 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 .com. There it is. And, you know, I highly recommend that. And make it easy to find your podcast. I don't know how many times someone will call me on the phone and says, I got a podcast I host with Blueberry. My player's not looking right. And okay, what's your website? I go to their website, and the next question out of my mouth is, okay, how do I find your podcast? If you somebody that knows how to look for a podcast can't find your podcast, how do you expect your listeners, potential listeners, to find it? So make it easy to find your show. Don't make your website too complicated. Sometimes I'll go to a website and they'll have a pop-up, a pop-under, a slider, a thing, and that, and this, and the other thing, and autoplay turned on. And no, don't do that. Put a play button somewhere where I can just hit play. And make sure you have your subscribe links there where I can subscribe. And another thing that I get a lot of at Blueberry specifically, because we do a lot of WordPress sites, is somebody will call up and say, hey, I want, you know, I don't want my blog posts and my audio posts in the same blog role, on the same page of my blog. And I ask them, well, why not? Is your website about underwater basket weaving and your podcast about truck driving? No, they're both about the same thing. So why would you have, you know, wouldn't you think your readers would want to listen to your podcast, or your podcast listeners want to read?
Okay, Mike. Yes. I have a question for you.
Perfect.
I am updating my podcast to a new, the topic has changed.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of rebranding. I want to keep my old podcast up
mm-hmm.
for another 2 years, and then I want them to go away. So right now I want to have the new feed and the old feed side by side
right.
on my WordPress
mm-hmm.
site. You're saying you don't want, are they going to be different? In my case, yeah, they're going to be different, but I don't want them on the same feed.
Right, and in your case, what you do is you use categories to organize your website, mm-hmm. not your podcast, to organize your website. So you have a category for podcasts, and don't call it podcast. That's a really bad SEO term, by the way. Show, episodes, something like that as your podcast category in WordPress, and then your blog posts be a different category. And then you have an archive page in the menu for everything in the podcasts category, and everything in the blog category is in another archive page. And in your case, Kim, with the old podcast, you have the old podcast category, and that's how you organize them on your site. But in your case, I would recommend leaving the feed the same, rebrand the whole thing, and then they'll just naturally drop off your feed at the end of 2 years or whatever, time it out by your schedule, limit your feed to X number of episodes, and
I
just part of it.
Have two images. One would go into this track, which would be the old stuff, and this track would go into the new stuff,
yeah.
and two separate podcast pages.
Yeah, you could do that. Call me.
Thanks.
That one's a little more complicated.
Yeah, what do you think of naming the page on your site, naming the podcast? So you tell people, hey, just go search for name of my podcast.
Right.
And that'll take it right to the podcast.
Sure. And, you know, like I do a podcast called Fast Food History. It's fastfoodhistory.com or .org. I think I got both. But that's it. That's the name of my show. But when you come to my website, first thing you see is the latest episode player. And the next thing you see just to the right of it is all the buttons to push to subscribe. And that's what's on my site, you know. But I realize there are people out there that do sites that do more than just podcasting. But in my case, I find it worth for my podcasts to have a podcast-specific web page. Then I have my overall page, MikeDell.com, that has links to all my podcasts. And then, but they're separate pages. I find that the easiest way to do it, and the SEO value. You know, you got to understand that the number one way people find podcasts is word of mouth. Number two way is a Google search, not an Apple podcast search, not an iTunes search, not an Android something or another search. They're going to find it in Google. So you got to have a website to get into Google. And like I said, the best way I found to do a website is WordPress, and they're cheap enough you can spin up a whole other one, buy another domain if you're going to have multiple podcasts. That's the best way to do it. PowerPress will technically do multiple podcasts, but you know, that's not the best way, I don't think. You know, if they're totally separate podcasts. Now, we have a network that, believe it or not, I think they're up to 600 shows now off of one WordPress installation, and PowerPress using categories. So they have 600 feeds off of that. Now, granted, not all of those are active all the time. It's a TV show fan site network thing. AfterBuzz.tv, if anybody's seen it. but they do shows about just about every TV show out there. So, any questions about websites, anything like that?
Blueberry has a website, PowerPress.
Yeah, PowerPress sites.
PowerPress in. They will host your website.
Yeah, we can host websites. Now, our websites are podcast-specific, managed WordPress, which means what plugins are there and what themes are there or what's there. You're stuck with them. So we may not be for everybody because of that. You know, but we guarantee that that website's not going to go down because you can't screw it up because we won't let you. that's the gist of it. So, podcasting terms. This is my favorite one. Uploading. You'd think that's a simple concept. But a lot of podcasters don't understand the concept of uploading. You take a file that's on your computer and you upload it to another computer out on the interwebs. That's what it means. But so many times I'll get somebody say that, well, I uploaded a podcast and I can't listen to it. What do you mean you uploaded it? Well, yeah, I clicked on download and then it went to my computer and now I've uploaded it and I can't listen to it. I'm like, okay, whatever. Downloading, same thing. You know, I downloaded my podcast to Blueberry so it would be on my feed. No, you uploaded it to Blueberry. So you'd just be, you know, really surprised at how many people get that, those two things, that concept backwards. Of course, feed and RSS can be the same thing. That's the only kind of reason I had it on there. Is, you know, I say, what's your feed address? Well, my RSS address is. No, it's the same thing. Sorry. You know, so we have to realize that when you're talking to somebody new, because I think probably most of you guys, you're new. You're going to be podcasting soon, right? Cool. But, you know, most people here are veterans at it or at least know something about it. So you're going to probably be in the position of helping somebody get started. You know, that's the thing about podcasters. I don't know a podcaster out there that's been doing it any length of time that hasn't helped somebody else get a podcast started. So it's good to, you know, kind of be all talking the same language. Plays, that's the other thing people don't understand. That you'll see a player on a web page, and they think that's streaming. It's not. Streaming is a completely different technology. It's downloading while it's playing, so that's still a download. So, you know, you were talking about stats. You know, when you look at your download stats, that includes somebody hitting play on a player on a website. That includes, but in our stats at Blueberry, and I think at Libsyn the same way, it differentiates between what downloaded it, what played it. So you can look and see any of the ones that say web browsers, so Chrome, Safari, Edge, whatever. Those are generally plays in a page. And I think on Libsyn, doesn't it just say play in page? Because I'm not a Libsyn guy. I haven't had a count with them in a while. But, you know, there's ways to tell that that's a play in the page. But really, to the server, it's the same exact thing. In statistics, download statistics, you know, the thing to remember about that is so many people always say, wow, I get 1,000 downloads per month. Well, stats are mainly two things for stats. Stats are for you to know how you're doing. It's kind of keeping score. But stats are for advertisers too. So if you want to monetize your show and you've got stats, and the only stat that the advertisers care about, they don't care that you got 1,000 this month. They want to know how many times did that file that my ad's in get played or downloaded. So they don't care one iota that you got 10,000 downloads this month. How many times my ad's in get played? That's what I want to know. So just Yes.
So talk about stats and downloads. So there's so many different interfaces, right, that you can access someone's podcast. Like you have your app on your phone or something, you go to somebody's website.
Right.
So when you say downloads, is it counting all of those different
yes.
types of methods?
Yes.
Right.
On Blueberry in particular, and on Libsyn and others, it'll have a client section, and it'll say Apple Podcasts. It'll say, you know, iTunes Desktop. It'll say, you know, 10 different Android apps. It'll, you know, whatever, browsers, whatever. So, yeah, it does tell if the device or the software that downloaded tells us. Then we report that. There'll be some unknowns because there are stuff. There are things out there that don't tell us what they are. So, all right. And here's my pet peeve. I get this all the time. How do I upload my podcast to iTunes? That is wrong on a lot of levels. Now, first off, Apple's trying to rebrand iTunes, so the word iTunes and podcasting are not supposed to be together anymore, but they're not having good luck with that. So it's now called Apple Podcast, but you don't upload
it.
Yeah, exactly. But you don't upload anything to Apple. The question you want to ask, how do I submit my podcast to be included in the Apple Podcast directory? And at this point, I usually would have played a video, but I don't want to press my luck with the technology, so we won't play it. Anybody here remember the movie The Jerk with Steve Martin? Do you remember the phone book scene? Where the phone book's here, I'm going to be famous, my name's in print. Same thing with getting on iTunes. You know, huh?
Say, go ahead and play.
I don't have it handy. I should. But what I mean by that is, you know, iTunes, it's great. It's 50 to 70% of people's audience. It's awesome to be there, but it's not all of it. And just because you're on Apple with 500,000 other shows does not automatically mean you're going to be successful. So you still got to market. You still got to get out. But getting back to this, it's, you know, I get that question at least 3 or 4 times a week. How do I upload my podcast to iTunes? No, you don't. Sorry. And sorry, it's a pet peeve. I understand where people get the notion.
So your podcast is
removed. Yeah.
That's where it's physically located.
Yeah.
iTunes is just a pointer that says, I'm going to go to Blueberry and grab it.
Yeah.
Go to Blueberry and grab it. This is all done behind the scenes.
Certainly. Right. Apple, in this case, the podcast app on your Apple phone or the desktop software called iTunes or an Android phone with whatever Android phone app you have, and you're subscribed to a podcast, you're not subscribed to anything at Apple or at whatever app you're at. So Apple, once somebody's subscribed, even in Apple, you're no longer looking at Apple. You're just using Apple software to be subscribed to the RSS feed on the website or at Libsyn or at wherever, okay? So even if Apple says, hey, we're kicking you out of the Apple podcast directory, all your subscribers will still get your show in Apple. That's happened. You know, I don't know why. They told me I was kicked out, but all my subscribers are still getting it. Well, yeah. Because they're not subscribed to Apple. They're subscribed to you directly. And that's the other thing. I get a lot of people, they'll put out an episode at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and at 5 o'clock they email me and say, hey, my podcast isn't in iTunes yet. Well, it's not going to be in the listing, you know, right away, because it's a pull technology, not a push technology, podcasting is. So what happens is you update your RSS feed, and that RSS feed sitting there on a server somewhere, and all your subscribers, when they get around to it, grab whatever's new in that RSS feed. It's like an email box almost. And then same thing with all the directories. So Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Blueberry Directory, Spotify, whoever. When they get around to it, and when, you know, and you look at Apple and Blueberry, we've got, you know, 500,000 shows in our directory. So it takes a little while to get around to those 500,000 feeds to update. So if, say, I just passed yours, the Blueberry directory just passed yours, or the Apple directory, they're not going to be around for a few more hours, up to 24. So it's not uncommon to post an episode and then have it be 24 hours before you see it in the directory listing for your show at Apple or Blueberry, Google, Stitcher, TuneIn, whatever. Okay. That doesn't mean that your subscribers don't get it. Your subscribers will get it the next time they check it. So the thing I always tell newbies, subscribe to your show in at least two places. You know, so if you've got an Apple phone, subscribe to it on your computer and Apple's iTunes software, and subscribe to it on your Apple phone. Or maybe download Overcast and subscribe to it there too. Just make sure that you, and that's how you know it's working. Regardless of what your listing does at any of the directories, if those, you know, if you get your show the way your listeners get the show, it's going to work. And you just, I don't look at my, I haven't looked at my iTunes listing, and I can't remember when, on any of my podcasts. I don't care. You know, if they're way out of date, well, oh well. But that's just me. Any questions, comments so far? So I think I just have a few little off-the-cuff things that aren't exactly newbie mistakes, but some little tech tips. The whole thing about Spotify. Spotify is awesome to be in, okay? Don't get me wrong. But it's not worth moving to another host to be on Spotify. And it's not, I mean, and Blueberry has it, Libsyn has it, I think, you know, there's a bunch of us have it now, and that's all good, but I've seen people move their hosting just to be on Spotify, and I don't know, has anybody listened to a podcast on Spotify? Do you think it's a good experience?
I mean, people that don't have, yeah, podcast app.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's, I'm sure it's decent, and if you're used to Spotify, it's probably cool. I find it clunky just because I'm, you know, an old fart and did it the old way for so long, you know. But, no, I get it. But I don't think, you know, changing up all of what you do for one, you know, one directory, like, you know, be everywhere. Yeah, that's a great thing. But there's certain places, you know, like Pandora. Good luck getting into Pandora. They've got two podcasts in Pandora, Serial and This American Life. The only two podcasts in Pandora right now. Now, they're going to jump on the bandwagon, I'm sure, at some point. iHeartRadio. There's a couple of web or media hosts out there that can get you on iHeartRadio. But iHeartRadio just filed for bankruptcy. I don't know how popular their app's going to be after a while. You know, you don't know. So just, you know, and same thing like SoundCloud. A lot of people ask us, well, how come we can't automatically publish to SoundCloud? Well, SoundCloud isn't a platform like that. It's not like iTunes. It's not like a directory. It's its own thing. It's YouTube for video. And some web hosts or some media hosts out there do post to SoundCloud for you. But what they do is they have an account at SoundCloud, or they have your credentials, and they just log in and upload it just like you would. So if you want it to be on SoundCloud, go upload it at SoundCloud. SoundCloud's another one of those that is probably not going to last forever because they're selling dollar bills for 80 cents a piece, and eventually they're going to run out of dollar bills. Bad business plan. Let's see. Make podcasting as painless as possible. The more complicated you make your workflow, the more, less likely you're going to stick with it. You know, as we were talking about, my boss there, he's done, you know, 1,400, 1,500 episodes of his show. If he had to spend more than 10 minutes editing, he probably wouldn't have stuck with it all that time. That's him. You know, some people have higher tolerance for editing and whatnot. But you know, if you make it super complicated to produce your show, it's going to be harder to sustain that. Like I said, you know, I've got this little setup right here. This little box right here has everything I need to record a podcast. And then I take that little chip out and I plug it in the side of my computer. I run it through a couple processes, upload it, post it, done. I have a podcast. I'll probably do that if I don't die of a coughing fit tonight. Got a little thing going on. I probably will do an episode of my Mike Dell's World podcast from the hotel room using this setup. And it's, you know, so just make it easy. Because if it's, the harder it is, the less likely you're going to do it.
The PowerPress right now. I'm looking at my website, and I have on Apple Podcasts on Android. It's a subscribe to page. It's automatically generated by PowerPress.
Yes.
I love that. Now I don't have to think about it.
Right. And pretty soon you'll have a Spotify button.
Oh, okay. Well, if I ever get on Spotify,
you will. You will.
When you say make it as simple as possible, is this the simplest way for me to do this?
Well, the way I, okay, you know, like I said, this isn't supposed to be a blueberry pitch, but.
I'm not asking for a blueberry pitch. I'm asking for, is there a way that's simpler than this that I should be looking at?
For a quality podcast, no.
Okay.
But now,
I don't have to think about this anymore.
But Anchor, so Anchor, that's their big shtick. You hit record on your phone, you blah, 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 into your phone, you hit one button, and it's posted. That's simpler, but the quality is zilch.
Yeah,
the ownership of it's zilch.
People know how to subscribe.
Right. Right. So the whole idea is just make it easy. Yeah. We like to think that PowerPress, done right, is the easiest. And what's nice about, you know, it's on the production end, is you make a blog post, you upload a piece of media, you hit publish, you walk away, you're done. So, you know, that's really the easiest quality way to do it. You know, Libsyn's fairly easy too. Basically, you go over there, make a post, upload a piece of audio, hit publish, you're done. You know, but now if you're going to maintain your own website and one of these other hosts, that gets more complicated, but whatever. And I think we talked about this, you know, the thing that I get in tech support a lot is, my podcast's not updated. Help, help, help. You know, that's the whole 24-hour thing. You know, just know that RSS is not a push technology. It's a pull technology. So anyway, that's all I've really got. Unless somebody has comments, questions, tell war stories.
Question. So I need to move a podcast out of my Apple account. So right now, under my Apple account, I want to move it to different problems. Is there a way to do that without affecting how it's existing right now?
No, everything stays the same. The problem with it is Apple has to do that manually for you.
I just did this for like 4 or 5
shows. Yeah, he's probably got a better.
Well,
yeah.
Basically, I can send you an email. You basically email them. They give you a code that you have to put in one of your tags to verify that you're the actual owner.
Yeah.
And then they move it.
So do I create a new Apple account first?
Yeah, you create the new account first.
Yeah.
And then I want to move this podcast from my account to this other account.
Yep.
Okay, but they have to verify.
Yeah, and if you're using PowerPress, we've got a spot where you can stick that little code that you can put in there so that they'll know that you own it. And if you're not using PowerPress, there's pretty much, you know, most of the other places will do the same thing. And yeah, they didn't have that procedure for a long time. And being that I've been in tech support at Blueberry, you know, part-time or full-time over what, almost 10 years now, 9 years, I've submitted a ton of shows to Apple under my ID. I have probably 75 or 100 shows in my Apple ID when I log into Podcast Connect, and I've not had one of them request to move yet. It's weird because a lot of them are still active, but oh well. Because, well, Apple's now got stats, and that's been the main motivator for people. Is they want access to the Apple stats.
Producers might produce it and submit it under theirs.
Yeah.
They don't want to produce it anymore. It's got to go to somebody that's going to get the notes from Apple saying whatever. It's got to change the meaning.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I had to move much. I took over production shows at the start of somebody else.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't the people on the shows have their own ideas?
Well, they did, but the whole thing at Apple, as far as it used to be, all you needed was the iTunes software, and you'd put an RSS feed, and you didn't have to own the RSS feed or nothing. You just put it in there, and then they would add it to the thing. So hundreds and hundreds of shows got added to Apple, where the producer of that show didn't even know that they were an Apple. And, that happens. So, that's a problem. In fact, Todd, our boss there, he does not have control of his Apple listing for his main show yet. Now it's coming, because he got in when Apple started. Like, I've been podcasting since before Apple was into podcasting. Todd's been in it before. And those original shows got pulled into Apple without anybody doing anything about it, because Apple went out to the main directory at the time. I think it was iPodder. I forget what it was called. Went out to the main directory, pulled all those shows into Apple, when they announced that they were adding podcasting. They had to have something there, so they pulled a bunch of shows in. So all those shows are not owned by the – or show listings are not owned by the people that that produced them. So anyway, you had a –
Yeah, two podcasts. So what's the difference between the Mike Dell podcast and the Pat
Spoon podcast? They're
different podcasts. So if people want to do more than one podcast, what
are they
up against?
Yeah, well, in my case, I just have separate websites for each of my podcasts. But there's a way in PowerPress to do podcast channels or category podcasting. So you can do multiple podcasts. Like I said, we have one client that's doing 600 and something shows off of one WordPress install. Now, granted, it's on a honking box somewhere. I don't know what they're doing, but they're making it work.
So they just have 600 and some categories.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But I just have their own website, and then so I got Mike Dell's World. If you're interested, at that one I've been doing since 2005. It's probably first 150 podcasters in the world, and it's stupid. It's just me talking into a microphone when I feel like it, and it absolutely has no plan whatsoever, but I still do it. Got 300 something episodes. Then I do Podcast Help Desk, which is all kind of this kind of stuff, and I do Fast Food History, which is just what it is. It's history of fast food chains. And they've got, I think I'm up to episode 8 or 9. I'm not real consistent. But they're all on their own websites. And then I have at MikeDell.com, I have, just album art that takes you to each of the websites. And then my written blog. Being that I now work in podcasting full time, it's harder and harder to be motivated to actually podcast. But I do one of the company podcasts, Your Podcast by Blueberry. We kind of piggybacked on Mackenzie's show, and it's on powerpresspodcast.com. And it's Todd and I talking about Blueberry stuff and podcast news and that kind of thing. And then Mackenzie does the off weeks, doing whatever you do, interviews. So we have we have two different feeds for that one's done by podcast channels. If you need, on the back end, that's podcast channels in WordPress. And so there's two completely separate feeds, two completely separate everything, except for it mixes the stats up, much to her chagrin. But I try. That's a bug.
I have a different website. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to get the podcast podcast on iTunes or something else, I submit it for the directory, and I use that one as RSS feed. Is that right?
Which what platform are you on? Never heard of it. Your best bet would probably be go with a feed from your hosting company.
Hosting.
No, hosting for podcast hosting. Get a podcast host. And this isn't really, this is scuttlebutt. I've heard tell that Apple is having trouble with self-hosted podcasts. Meaning podcasts that aren't using Libsyn, Blueberry, Spreaker, Podbean, whatever, that are just doing it off of their WordPress or just a folder on a web server. Because web servers aren't meant for big files like that. They're meant for pages and pictures. You know, text and pictures. You know, they're not meant for videos or audios. If you can do video, my suggestion, go to YouTube, Vimeo, something like that. Throw an embed on your site. Don't put the file on your site. But in your case, what you would do, and let's just talk for Blueberry, you could generate your feed from Blueberry using our podcast generator, it's called. It's just you log into Blueberry. You won't see the word generator anywhere. You log into Blueberry, and you would post right there. So you make like a blog post right there, and then once you've published that, then you get an embed player that you go put on your website, and it would have all the subscribe options on the bottom of the player, and yeah, just like a YouTube embed. It's an iframe, and you know, but it's an audio player. It's got your logo on it. It's got, you know, subscribe and share options underneath, and that would be the best bet for using a website that's not WordPress. Or if you're really a glutton for punishment, get Notepad, open up Notepad, and write your own RSS. XML code. You can do it.
So then I still post it to my website, and I still direct people to my website.
Yeah.
And when they click on it,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. And you could also, you know, put manual buttons on there to send it back to Blueberry or wherever you're going to be hosting it.
So you're kind of like a separate RSS for the blog and the podcast?
Well, in her case, it's not a WordPress platform, and our PowerPress plugin only works with WordPress. So I don't know if that platform has podcast-specific stuff, but blog RSS feeds can be RSS 1. Whatever, and that's not good for podcasting because you have to be able to attach a file to it. So it has to be RSS 2.0, and have the capability of adding enclosures. So if, and then plus you also have to have tags in there that are specific to podcasting, like your artwork tag. You got to have your, you know, to be compatible with, you know, everybody's software, you have to have all these tags. And that's what a program like PowerPress does, or Generator on Blueberry, or Libsyn does that with their settings. And all of them do it. And it's just a different way to get an RSS feed. But you want the RSS feed to be podcast specific.
But you do recommend having blog posts and the podcast feed in the same RSS?
No, not in the same RSS. Oh. In fact, on WordPress, it automatically separates them. Now, your blog feed RSS will have your podcast posts in it. But your podcast one will just have podcasts in it. And the reason for that is even though a blog post won't show up on iTunes, it counts. So when iTunes says we only show 25 of your episodes and you've got 8 blog posts in there, and I'm doing public math, you'll only have X number of episodes in there because the 8 that weren't included because they didn't have enclosures still count. So it's still in your RSS feed. It's still 25, but 8 of them were not podcasts.
So I know, like, I'm just learning about this, but yep. Apparently if you do well in your first couple of weeks on iTunes, you get, like, what's hot or trending or whatever it is.
New and noteworthy.
Yeah, okay.
That is the biggest myth. my podcast, Mike Dell's World. Do it.
That's the first time I've heard anyone mention it in a while. So
yeah. Yeah, that's a great beginner thing because there's a lot of bad information about that. New and noteworthy, it should be new or noteworthy. Now, you can be new for 8 weeks. That's probably true. Don't know. Apple, it's a big mystery at Apple. But you can be noteworthy anytime. Mike Dell's World, my stupid little podcast that I've been doing for, 13 years, has been in and out of new and noteworthy a lot. And the only reason I ever know what's in there is somebody emails me and says, hey, you're new or noteworthy. Oh, really? Well, never noticed in the stats. In other words, flatline on the stats. Does not do a thing for me. So, because most people, not all, and, you know, and I'm being very general, so, you know, your mileage may vary. But I would say most people don't go to the iTunes store or the Apple Podcast app to find a podcast unless they already know about it. So if I know the name of your podcast and I've got an Apple device and I want to subscribe to it, I'm going to type in the exact name.
It just took me 5 minutes to find the podcast you've been talking about.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Because of iTunes being...
It's terrible.
So in general, is there any directory that people use to find the show? Good podcast or strictly word of mouth?
Google.
Yeah,
your podcast. Oh, yeah, that's a lousy name, too. That's a really lousy name.
Yeah, I look at the pop charts.
That's why we say go to powerpresspodcast.com and there's a button that you can push and then you'll get a vibration in your pants. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, I ended up having to go through Google to find it because
yeah.
Podcast Addict couldn't find it.
Yeah, it's a lousy name. I'll admit that. Yeah, especially speaking of which, podcast titles. There's no slide about it, but podcast titles. So many people stuff their podcast titles with stuff. Do you want to listen to a show that says, entrepreneur something something, just like this one and that one and the other one and the other one and the other one? You know, they got a title that's this effing long. No, make it simple. Because, you know, I guarantee if you search for fast food history podcast, you're going to find my podcast. But if I said fast food history, Ray Kroc, McDonald's, Burger King, White Castle, whatever, you know, and had a thing this long, it might not be as easy to find. Doubt it, because McDonald's would probably come up first 50,000, you know. Yeah, maybe. I don't know, but I it's not worth garbaging up your title for that. Yeah. You're much better to have the SEO on the titles of episodes.
There's a woman named Amy Cornfield who does a lot of marketing. She does a really cool job of so many people take their podcast and they transcribe them and then that just becomes their blog and it's got the ums and the
what. Oh.
There's no
context
for good reading on the blog. But Amy takes hers and she picks out, you know, applicable SEOs and sets up her page accordingly. And then she says, like, this is what you're going to learn. And then she has a middle section where she kind of bullet points that.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, this topic is at this many minutes in.
Right.
This topic is at this many minutes in. So she gets the SEO on her page, but it's not a direct duplication.
Yeah.
And then, because her end game is to sell the programs, each of her podcasts has a freebie that she keeps referencing. So you can sign up for the freebie and download the audio on the mailing list.
Sure.
So it's very well organized.
Oh, yeah. And it's a lot of work, and she's probably good at it. But, you know, like I said, I like to have a simple title for the overall show. And then if I want to put garbage in, I put it in the title of the episodes. Because that's equally searched, especially within the podcast apps. The titles of episodes are searched. So
the title of the episode file?
No, not the file. Files mean nothing to anybody. The actual title of the episode in the blog post.
Okay.
I'll put it as the So you know, you have your podcast description, your overall description, mm-hmm. each episode you have a description.
Right.
If you're looking at Apple's podcast app, you type in like entrepreneur, and entrepreneur is in your yeah. description, is that going to hit, or
nope.
is it looking at the title?
Nope, just the titles.
I don't know.
Yeah, and then, yeah, that author tag. And they've asked us specifically, do not stuff the author tag with for SEO. My rule is in Blueberry, there's a box about that big on your computer screen. If you could fit everything you're going to put in the author tag in that box, you're probably okay. But I've seen, you know, entrepreneurs are especially bad. You know, entrepreneur-based podcasts are especially bad about that. And I've seen they've got, Zig Ziglar and the 30 or 40 gurus in their author tag. Well, Zig Ziglar's been dead, what, 5 years, 6 years now at least? You know, Tony Robbins wouldn't have anything to do with your podcast. Stop it, you know. Anyway, we're running up on time here. Anything?
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
I guess for all of you, because for my podcast, I do plan on like interviewing people, maybe 1 to 3 people at a time. Does anybody know like any type of studio space or something where like the microphones are all set up? You might maybe pay a fee or something to come in and do your episode. Does anybody know anything about that in Columbus?
I work out of the Idea Foundry.
Oh,
I'm working with the owners of setting up a podcast training and a podcast like equipment locker that you can use, that once we're done getting the course laid out, it'll be open to rent.
Oh, cool.
For
okay.
$5, $10 an hour or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know about Columbus, but Akron Public Library has a studio in one of the libraries that you can use for free. So you might want to check the Columbus Library.
Yeah, our public library up in Michigan too they have two full radio studios and two full video studios. So, real nice. They have a cable access channel too.
There's actual.
I will be doing on
the second floor. I don't know what the name of that studio was or how to that place, but it is set up to be a
excuse me. To stand up.
I'm sure somebody will make
something up. Cubase. I've heard of it.
Or what was the other one?
Yeah.
Wave Lab.
Right off the top of my head. I mean, I've heard of them, but...
I was going to say is this little Zoom microphone came with the software for both of them for free.
Oh,
so
okay.
I was just trying to figure out if anyone's used them, if they're worthwhile.
What is that?
It's from Zoom. It's basically...
Is that the video one?
No, that's for audio, but it can do up to 4 channels. But the reason I got it, it's the same as Gary's.
Right, I'm just like, what model is that? I'm not familiar.
H2N.
Oh, that's the H2 now?
Yeah.
Wow, because I have
the one that's back here.
I've got the antique one
The neat thing about these now is you can do virtual reality recordings. Like they won't do this way, but they'll do like. Mm-hmm. You know, left, right, back, front.
Yeah.
Okay, that was the recording as I have it. There will be a video version of that, I believe, coming out soon, probably on the website for the podcast Meetup Columbus, or whatever it's called exactly. But I'd like to thank everybody for listening through all of that. Hopefully you got something out of it, and we'll be back with a regular episode coming soon. Catch me later.